Yes, listen, Harry calling you the smartest property guy on the planet, mate. How's that feel? Is that all right?
Yeah, well, I'm grateful to him. I mean, I just do what I do, which is just look at the data and, but actually objectively, right? This is what we need. We need objective analysis rather than spruiking. So that's what I do.
Okay, look, during this program, we're going to do a few things, but of course, you've told me by text you're happy for a few people to Google in some parts of Australia that they may live in, and you may go into your box of tricks. I know that you have a computer system that can pretty much break down every postcode in Australia from property growth, stress of mortgage, from are they going down, have they gone up, where are they? In actual fact, nobody should buy a property unless they speak to you. I'm glad we're friends, Martin.
Yeah, if we might get a chance to look at a particular postcode or two. I just need the four letter and the four numbers, and I can then display a little bit of information about that particular postcode from my model. I spend all of my time modeling this stuff, and the data is very recent, very up to date, so it could be quite interesting given where we are at the moment.
Now that I've said that, we're going to get 500 or 600 postcodes, but don't
You
worry,
probably will.
We'll
You
pick.
probably will. Yeah, believe me, I ran a show last Tuesday night doing somewhat similar things, and I got exhausted after an hour and a half, and I was still going. So.
Look, what I want to ask, of course, the thing, we have inflation, we have interest rates going up. Here is the big one, isn't it? This is interest rates going up. Pretty much is where this argument starts. Would you agree?
Yeah, so the thing to understand is that property prices are absolutely determined by availability of credit. And if you go back from the 1990s, we had on average 2.5 times income was the amount you could borrow to get a property. And that was why property values were where they were, right? And then through the 90s, 2000 and beyond, we had deregulation of the finance system. We had essentially very significant new market entrants, securitization. And the thing that went up was the multiples that you could borrow at. And of course, through 2010 onwards, interest rates were also being cut and cut and cut and cut. So the growth in property over the last 2 decades is absolutely directly connected to ultra low interest rates and the freeing up of the financial system, to the point where if you go in to get a mortgage today, you can get one at 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 times your income. That is the problem. And now, of course, we're in the situation where rather than interest rates going down, they're going to go up. We already know that the rate of increase probably will slow a little bit from the RBA, but they're still talking about putting rates up higher. And we also know that the loans that people have now got are just so much bigger, which means that the people in the market already holding those properties with mortgages are now finding it more and more difficult. So this was a thing that was created by bad central bank policy, by bad political judgment, and because, of course, property at $10 trillion, roundabout, was actually the hugest proportion of the GDP action over the last couple of decades. But it's all artificial, and that's the problem. So now we're in the situation where interest rates are going up, property prices are falling, and there's more ahead. So it begs the question, where do we go from here?
Well, Martin, it was kind of free money for a long time, wasn't it? And they were just handing it out like lollies for the last 3, 4, or 5 years. And as it dropped to almost zero, now all of a sudden, I had a property expert, a mate of mine, Max Leishman, said, "Oh, it only needs to go up a few percent for the castle to crumble." But it has gone up already. What it has, a few percent. The castle hasn't crumbled yet. Hasn't crumbled yet. But well, it's crumbled a little. But I want you to correct me because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm ignorant, but you know what's going on. But wouldn't it be right in saying that I heard them say that interest rates in the next 6 months, many interest rates will be coming in from their fixed position, having to go back on the marketplace? Now, surely that's when the you know what, the stuff hits the fan. Is that a fair call?
Well, already the interest rates have gone up for the variable rate mortgage holders. And people were getting mortgages at 2% just 6 to 8 months ago. If you think before they started lifting in May, 2% was the best rate. And now people are paying maybe 4%, maybe 5%. Now, just as a little guide, every 1% increase on a 30-year mortgage is the equivalent of a 15% increase in the monthly repayment, every 1%, right? So now we've got people essentially looking at perhaps 30, maybe even 50% increase in their monthly repayments. And the other problem is that the variable rate mortgage holders haven't yet caught up with the rate rises. There have been six. Well, only about three have come through yet. So the variable rate mortgage holders are seeing more rate rises ahead. But then you make the point about the fixed holders. So there's about a quarter of all mortgages are actually fixed rate mortgages. And so that's about 2 trillion in mortgages. Well, a quarter of that, 500 billion, are actually fixed rate loans. And a lot of those are actually due to be reset over the next year or so. And a lot of those fixed rate mortgages were at 2%. Now they're going to be at 5% or maybe even more by the time the rates continue to rise. So again, people are going to go from being able to afford those massive repayments to possibly not being able to afford those massive repayments. Now, because this momentum is ahead of us, we're already starting to see property prices begin to slide. So the latest data from CoreLogic showed that prices were falling in Brisbane, certainly in Sydney, certainly in Melbourne. In fact, Brisbane's falling faster than the other two areas at the moment. And we're also seeing now prices begin to ease back in Perth and in Tasmania and even in South Australia, which was the last hangout, all beginning to slide. So property prices are beginning to move down. Go back to what I said. Credit availability determines what happens to property prices. With interest rates going up, the borrowing power, the ability that new borrowers have to get into the market, has been reduced by about 30% from where it was just 8 or 9 months ago. So you cannot now borrow as much as you could back then, which means you can't chase those property prices. And that means that essentially we are going to see property prices beginning to slide down. And I think the pace will accelerate. Indeed, NAB came out last week and said, expect at least a 20% fall in property prices over the next year or so. I think that's probably a reasonable mid case. I have a few different scenarios, but you know, that's certainly possible. Could be even worse than that. And okay, everybody says, well, hang on, we had a massive run up over the last couple of years through COVID. Well, we did, but that was driven by ultra low interest rates, 0.1% cash rate, and all the government stimulus, all that first home owner grants and all the encouragement to go buy. That's all changed now. So we're in the new world, and we're in a new world where property prices are due to come down. And so it starts to beg the question then, well, what does that mean for households then?
You've kind of answered my question, but the bigger question is, you're saying that there's going to be a big wave of trouble coming. Is that what you're saying? A big. How big is the wave of trouble?
Well, it's certainly troublesome now. So we know, and you know, we have our mortgage stress data that actually gives us quite a good view. And I should explain what I mean by mortgage stress, because often people are a little bit confused about what I mean by mortgage stress. So let me just sort of go through a little bit of that, because it's quite important for people to understand what it is that I'm really talking about here. And basically, mortgage stress is trying to get at how households are coping or not. And so I'm going to put this up because it's quite important. So when I define mortgage stress, there are various different ways of doing it, but I look at it in cash flow terms, money in, money out. And basically, if what I say is households have more outgoings, excluding one-off discretionary, than their income, then I define them as stressed. And if they've got a mortgage, they're in mortgage stress. If they're renting, then it's a rental stress. And the point is, investors with cash flow pressures can also be stressed as well. And so we can aggregate all of that data to estimate the total financial stress in the system. That's what we do in our core modeling, right? And I express this as a percentage of households because that's the most powerful, but also the count. And the count really gets to the heart of where the pressure is, because that's the current state now. And then what you can do is essentially model where we are. Well, let's say where we are now. So firstly, let's look at the stress trends, looking at my modeling to the end of September, right? And let's start with rental stress, because this is horrific. We've got the situation now where 61% of those in rent are having difficulty meeting their rental repayments and all of their other obligations every month. And that's scary, and it's going to get worse. And the mortgage stress is now at 45.2% of households. It came back just slightly last month. It was at 46% last time. That's because some people have been refinancing and some people got a pay rise. And by the way, just as a sort of sidebar, it's worth noting that the household debt to income ratio, as published by the RBA, is 187. You can see how it's gone up in recent times. So in other words, people are borrowing more, despite the fact that we've got this issue with rising interest rates. That's the pressure that we're actually seeing amongst households. Now, the point about that is that gives you the sort of the top level view, right? But what's interesting then is actually, well, maybe we should look more granularly and begin to understand which types of households and what locations are actually struggling the most, because that's when it gets really interesting.
Yeah, well, hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. But and of course, rents are going up, so that helps these investors a little bit, but of course it doesn't help everything else, inflation
and stress. The problem is that the renters are almost always mortgaged. So whilst they might be getting a bit more on the rent side from a property investor perspective, they're actually having to pay a lot more out to pay the mortgage. So they're chasing their own tails, and also, interestingly, that quite a few of the investors are underwater on a cash flow perspective. So about 60% of property investors, on my modelling, are actually underwater from a cash flow perspective. In other words, it means that they're actually not making anything on the cash flow that's coming in and out. The only thing they're banking on is capital appreciation. And here's the problem. There is no chance of capital appreciation in the property market over the next 1 to 2 years, in my opinion. And we're already seeing, as I say, property prices fall. So that means that property investors are in the situation where they are paying net negative in and out. So they're losing on cash flow and they see no capital growth. That is why we're seeing significant numbers of property investors now listing their investment properties with a view to try to sell them before property prices fall further. And interestingly, if you look at listings, a lot of the properties that are being listed are ex-investment properties. And interestingly, if you look at the total pool of rental properties available in Australia, it's about one-third less than it was 3 or 4 years ago. So we've got less investment properties on the market. That's one of the reasons why rentals are going up, because there's such little supply. And yet property investors are saying, maybe it's a good time to get out. That's a really interesting observation as to what's changed recently.
Martin, during the COVID, our banks seem to be a best friend. How long will this go on, Martin?
Well, they've already increased their lending standards, right? So they've got a 3% buffer. So what it means is that if you apply for, let's say, a 5.5% mortgage, right, they'll be looking at 5.5% plus 3%, and they're asking the question, can you repay that at 3% above? Now, of course, as those mortgage rates go up, it means that they have to actually lift the buffer rate. The banks are actually tightening. The second thing is that they're actually also being much more aggressive now, looking at other income sources and even expenditures. So they're also being quite rigorous now, where they weren't a few months ago, even 6 months ago, but they are now. So it's tougher, much tougher to get a mortgage. And then the other point is that those people who are actually struggling, sometimes you can actually talk to your bank and, you know, work out an alternative program. And in some cases, they extend the life of the mortgage. That means that you'll be paying more interest over the life of the mortgage, but maybe it's a way to hold in there. But some banks are now actually starting to apply a lot of pressure to people whose income profile has changed forever because of what's happened here. And they're now suggesting that maybe you should actually sell your property before they foreclose. The last thing they want to do is to see foreclosures rise, because it costs them a lot in capital and also bad PR. So what they're doing is putting quite a lot of pressure on households who are near the edge and encouraging them to consider their position, and maybe they should sell the property. That's another reason why property listings have been quite strong. So the banks are not really your friend. By the way, they never were, because, of course, when they make an assessment of ability to repay, they're using very, very weird ratios, very, very minimal expenditures. You know, most people are spending a lot more than the minimum acceptable. And so what's tended to happen is that they've encourage people to go in. And when they say, sure, we'll make you the loan, doesn't mean they're looking at it from your lifestyle perspective or from your reality. They're looking at on a bog standard, minimalist expenditure type household. And frankly, most households are spending a lot more than the assessment criteria that the banks are using at the moment. And they don't necessarily pick that up. And also make the point that some applications still, the applicants are actually over-egging the cake when it comes to what their income is, or telling a little bit of a flexible story on what their costs are actually like. So they're not actually being totally truthful either. So there's a bit of blame on both sides. But I think the banks have led a lot of people down a blind alley here, and now we're going to see things begin to get rather crunchy over the next few months.
Aren't we seeing a bit of a dog's breakfast here? I mean, there's something strange going on in the property world in Australia. You've got interest rates going up.
Yep.
You've got building values to build a property gone through the roof. You've got people complaining they can't find somewhere to rent. You've got people wanting to buy, but they don't know how to do this. So you've got this whole strange scenario where there's actually people that want to buy, but they're not going to buy. And there's people wanting to rent, but they can't rent. It's a little bit, it's like a dog's breakfast. What's going on?
Well, it's certainly counterintuitive, and I agree dog's breakfast is a blooming good word for it. Look, the fact is that there was a decision taken post the mining boom and crash in the 2000s and 2010s to look for an alternative growth path. And the decision was taken by Treasury and by the Reserve Bank to use the property market and households as essentially the growth engine. That's why I said about, increasing the ability to borrow more and take interest rates down. It was a deliberate strategy by the powers that be, both the Treasury and the Reserve Bank. And if you go back 20 or 30 years, one third of bank lending was for mortgages, two thirds was actually for business lending. Today, it's two thirds for property lending and one third for business. So many businesses can't get the money that they need to grow their business because banks would much prefer to lend for property. So we've had this massive distortion. And then we had essentially a generation of politicians who kept saying, it's a great time to buy property. You know, we'll give you more first homeowner grants. Interestingly, the Productivity Commission came out recently and said these first homeowner grants are a problem because all they do is just to drive property prices even higher and make it more difficult for people to get into the market. So the policies that we have had have been disastrous. And then we've got various state entities who are partly responsible for land release and land supply and those sorts of things. And they've been chasing, guess what, more money from the construction fees and from the, stamp duty relating to property transactions. So they've been on the same drug. We have had a property sector that's been completely mismanaged and completely distorted over the last two decades. And the problem is the buck stops not with the Treasury, not with a Reserve Bank, but it stops actually with individual households who now have got used to paying way more for that property. And, of course, through the stimulus program over the last 2 years, they also threw money at the construction sector, so a lot of the builders basically entered a profitless boom when they couldn't actually cover the costs of the construction. And so we're seeing building construction companies falling over like flies. We're seeing households under huge financial pressure. The mortgage stress numbers speak for themselves in terms of just how difficult it is for households to cope with what's going on. This is a massive problem. This is not just a little, wobble. This is a structural problem that we have. And by the way, it's just worth noting, the ABS recently reported the latest asset values for households. And asset values have dropped in the last quarter. They've dropped across financial assets and non-financial assets. Guess what? Property prices dropped. Actually, your superannuation dropped and your shareholdings dropped. So we're seeing wealth destruction on the back of these stupid policies that we've had for the last couple of decades. This is a political problem, an economic problem, a social problem, and frankly, a problem for individual households as well.
Sounds like a very big dog's breakfast, this one. And the other reality is it's a catch-22. But look, another quick question. Obviously, I read this in the newspaper this morning, early this morning, and this lady was saying the good part about now is now's a good time to go and buy and make a killing. Now, of course, you read the newspaper and the Fin Review in the one day, and you get five different opinions. You get somebody who says it's going down 40 or 50, 60%. People said, no, it's going to plateau now and skyrocket up. And, you know, you get all these different opinions. You know what? I want Martin North's opinion because you know what's going on, Martin. You are so good. What's going to happen in this area? Does somebody race out and buy now? Is it going to go lower? Interest rates, how high will the interest rates go? How bad will inflation be? All these subjects create a problem.
Well, yes, and, you know, it's always hard because, of course, there are lots of externalities. You know, what's going to happen in Ukraine? Is the US going to recession? Will China also go into recession? All of those issues. Look, my view is there is absolutely no imperative to rush into the market and buy at the moment. I'm almost certain that you'll be able to buy cheaper in the next year or two. I believe that property prices will continue to fall further and the pace of fall will probably accelerate. Why do I say that? Because as I said at the beginning, the critical thing to understand is its availability of credit, meaning interest rates, and the ability of the banks to lend that actually drives property prices up. At the moment, interest rates are rising. We've got another probably 100 basis points or 1% of rises to come up. The market's talking about 3.6 possibly through next year and into the year after. So interest rates will be higher. That means that on those buffer calculations, you can't borrow as much as previously. So credit is less available. Also, if you are a first-time buyer and you believe that property prices are going to continue to fall, and I think they probably will, then you wouldn't buy now. What you'd do is you'd wait. And you'd wait for prices to come back further because price will be more affordable. It's still very unaffordable. And of course, the problem you've got is that incomes have not grown in any real terms at all. So a lot of people are really struggling to try and get into the market. So maybe it's worth waiting. And then, of course, the other side of it is there are some people, as I said earlier on, trying to sell now because what they're trying to do is to sell before prices fall. And when you actually look at who's writing this stuff, right? So quite a few of the real estate portals, of course, are actually still spruiking property. Guess why? Because they want your eyeballs. And of course, they get paid by the industry to do that. And then you've got the real estate guys themselves who are trying to get transactions going. If you look at the volume of transactions at the moment, they're down, significantly down. Many real estate agents are really struggling with lack of commissions and, you know, having to work really hard. Many auctions aren't happening at the moment. Where you could meet the market, in other words, where people are prepared to agree to sell at, a let's say, 10 to 15% below where the market was a few months ago, there are still some deals to be done. But I think unless there's an absolutely urgent need to buy because you need somewhere to live and it's a perfect property and you don't mind if you're going to lose a value on it, it's probably worth just waiting a little bit longer and seeing how this shakes out. We are not at the end of the interest rate cycle yet. Even the Reserve Bank says that. All of the experts are saying rates will go higher. CBA is the least aggressive, so they're saying maybe, you know, 2.75, 2.85 cash rate max. But if you say Westpac, they're saying 3.6. I think that's probably a reasonable ballpark. But if the Federal Reserve decides to go 100 basis points when they meet in November, which is possible based on what we're seeing in the US, there is a chance that we'll have to go even higher. And here's a scary thought for you. All of the economists will tell you that if you want to crush inflation, which is what the Reserve Bank needs to do and wants to do, you actually need a cash rate that is higher than the current inflation rate, which is a pretty scary thought when you think that at the moment our inflation rate's, what, 6% or thereabout. So, you know, if that were to actually be true, then, you know, that would be horrendous for many people. It's interesting, in the US, one of the Federal Reserve chairs recently reminded everybody that to crush inflation, you need an interest rate higher than the current rate of inflation. So there is more upside risk to interest rates and therefore downside risk to property. I cannot see any scenario where property prices are going to recover in the next 3 to 6 months and go higher. And we are not going to see anything like we saw through COVID, where interest rates went down to 0.1% and where we had all the government stimulus and all the fiscal measures encouraging people to go buy, go buy, go buy. That was a one-off situation. And if you look over the longer term, by the way, average growth for property over the long term is just about the rate of inflation. Now, that's probably close to where we're going to get. So I'm expecting property prices to come down, stay down, recover in about 2 to 3 years and start moving up, but nothing like we were. So in other words, guys, the property boom is over.
Now, of course, it would be ignorant for somebody to say, hey, Martin, how much has property fallen here or there? Because I know you are a smart guy. You can talk about all different postcodes and you can see all different prices. You know, some have already dropped by 40%. Some have only dropped by 20%. Some have dropped a little. Some have dropped a lot. Some are under enormous stress, some postcodes, which can only mean whatever. So, you know, tell us about opportunity from here. Where do we go? What opportunity is there for people?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting point. Clearly, property prices are moving differently in different places, right? And what that means is that you need to get granular to understand what's going on. You can't look at these high-level indices. They're not telling you anything useful because they're high-level averages and often lagged by 1 to 2 months. Because the point is this, if you actually see a property transaction through, it takes about 2 months on average from a time when the agreement is made to when the property is actually completed. At that date, data then flows back through the registries and into the property portals, and then they actually put them into the indices. So there's a 2 month lag between there and what the indices are saying. So you need to look at other information. And that's a bit where my model comes in, because my models actually are very granular, deliberately. And I'll just show you, this is an example. I mean, it's just one I picked up just to sort of show you. But this is postcode 4551, which is up in Little Mountain in Brisbane and Moreton, right? And it's interesting to note here that my three scenarios, I run a best, base and worst case scenario. So for a house in that area, over the next 3 years, the best case is a growth of 4% cumulative over 3 years. The base case is a fall of about 20%, but the worst case, if we get a global recession, is down to about 39% off. Now, those scenarios give you some of the sort of senses of where we are. And interestingly, this is the real killer. If you look at the disposable monthly income for this postcode, right, which is about $4,800, on average, somebody with a mortgage is paying 48% of their net disposable on their mortgage at the moment, and about 46% on their rental at the moment. And their average taxable income, according to the ATO, is about $73,000, and the average household from the census is $77,000. And if you're an investor, you might get 4.6% from gross investment yield, but the real true return, in other words, the net investment yield, is 1.1%. Now, that's just an example of the granularity that can help you to understand where to go look, right? Because obviously, there are other postcodes where the proposition is completely different in terms of the levels of stress, in terms of the movements of property values, et cetera, et cetera. But interestingly, of course, a lot of people were saying, oh, Queensland is the place to invest. Well, actually, sorry to say this, but down in southeast Queensland, property prices are falling more smartly there than anywhere else. And, you know, I've got 100 examples I could show you. I won't, but I can go through them and show you all the property price falls. And in fact, if you want to see that show, if you go across to my YouTube channel, Walk the World, I put up a show there yesterday where I went through all of the property price falls in the Sunshine Coast just to illustrate dramatically how much property prices are falling. So you have to get granular, first point. The second is you need to make a decision about units versus houses, because the truth is houses will tend eventually to hold their value a little more than units. Unfortunately, we have flooded the market in some areas with many, many units, a lot of high-rise units particularly, all cookie cutters, all the same. And if you look at North Ryde, for example, I won't put the slide up, but if you look at North Ryde, unit prices in North Ryde are lower than they were in 2017. That's a scary wow. thought, right? So it means that anybody yeah. who bought then is actually sitting on a real negative loss, probably negative equity. And if you look in Perth, despite the run-up we've had in Perth over the last couple of years, right, property prices were higher in 2012 to 2014 than they are now. So there are some people over in the West still sitting on negative equity. So the message here is you need to be methodical and granular in your analysis. You cannot get high-level information, and frankly, the stuff on the portals are pretty useless at the best of times. You need to go much more granular to make good decisions. There are pockets where things look quite a lot more interesting. South Australia is a quite interesting area. There are some houses there that look quite interesting. But, you know, there are lots of other places where, frankly, I wouldn't touch with a barge pole. And the other point to make is a lot of the most significant stress levels are actually in the high-growth suburbs around our urban centres. So if you look at Campbelltown or Liverpool and places like that, and there, because mortgage stress is so high, that's another lever that I look at. So how many people in this postcode are actually struggling making those repayments? Because if you've got a high stress postcode, the chances are that what you're going to find is property prices are going to fall even more. And I've got maps and things I can share, you know, if we've got time, depending on how you want to take this. But the point is, you've got to look granularly. And if you do that, you can find those opportunities if you know what you're looking for. But also, don't be misled by all that stuff coming through from the press who keep wanting to talk the markets up. They've got an agenda. By the way, I don't have an agenda. I am just trying to be objective and independent about using the data to help people make better decisions.
Martin, this is so wonderful, this time with you and the 500 people listening on. This is a gift. This is a gift to everybody. And I'm sure I'll go a little bit longer, even though we should be stopping now, but I'm sure everybody wants to hear more from you. Tell me, how do they find you again? Make it very clear, slowly.
Yeah. So I have got a YouTube channel. It's called Walk the World on YouTube, and I make daily videos there. And there's a whole bunch up there put up recently about some of these price movements. In fact, this afternoon I've put up a story specifically around mortgage stress when I walked through all the postcodes. I've also got a website at digitalfinanceanalytics.com, and I post there every day as well, and there's a lot of information. And I also have a Twitter place as well at DFA Analyst. And I'll also make the point, Greg, if people want to have a specific conversation about a particular postcode or suburb and go into this in detail, that's a service that I offer. Now, it's a paid service, you know, I'll be frank and honest with you, but if you want a one-to-one conversation, right, you can have that conversation with me and look at all this detail, and I can go through, it's not financial advice, right, but I can go through all the data, I can show you what's going on in the particular postcode, where property prices might go, what are the leading indicators. It's that level of granularity, and I've got data for pretty much every postcode across the country. It's including the latest census data as well, so it's bang up to date. The data I showed you was, you know, literally hot off the press, plus my surveys have done it weekly, so it's very, very recent. Gives you a real strong grounding to be able to make better property decisions. And, you know, should you stay in property? Should you sell now and rent? Or, you know, should you buy investment property? Well, it depends. I can't give you that sort of financial advice, but I can give you the base data to help make better decisions about where to look and what the outlook might be. You have to be well informed, particularly now, particularly in an era of wealth destruction, and particularly when, wherever you look, we're going to see probably wealth being destroyed.
Wow. Look, my team's just put your site up, and I encourage everybody to go and register with Martin and make sure you follow him, because I know we're not going to be able to get to all the postcodes, even though we'd like to. But we've already seen what you've got on every postcode. It's scary, isn't it? I mean, very, very scary. And so what you're basically saying is, don't go and buy an investment property until you have a look at this data. Is that a fair call?
Well, I would say that if you're looking at investment properties in particular, it's really, really important. But if you're a first-time buyer, you know, it's really, really important that you have the information at your fingertips, because the risk is, if you don't, you could end up making really bad decisions. And my problem is, Greg, that I've spent many months talking to people one-on-one through my one-to-one service. And the problem is that people often jump into a property, they feel sort of emotionally attached to it, and then they hear all the press saying, you've got to buy now. And then, of course, the bank says, sure, you can get a big loan, et cetera, et cetera. Be cautious and careful. You know, there are times when the best thing to do is to do nothing, or at least get the real hard data that you need to make good decisions, rather than just being spruced to bilio by the real estate guys who frankly just want to make a deal at any price. And let me just, I'll just put this up. This is my one-to-one service, as I mentioned. I'm booking at the moment 3 to 5 weeks out, simply because I've got so much interest in this at the moment, because there's so many people trying to work out what to do. But the point about the one-to-one conversation is that it gives you the opportunity to sort of kick this around really granularly. But be cautious, be careful, and in the current environment, you know, assume interest rates are going to go up and stay high, assume property prices are going to fall further, and therefore being a little bit cautious makes a hell of a lot of sense at the moment. And be careful of the spruikers. They're still out there.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Oh, well, okay. So basically, people can cover their postcodes. They can join in with your service, give you the information, and they can all get their details. Is that correct? Everything that they need to know?
Yeah, well, certainly I can give them the detailed information. You know, the typical conversation is about a 25-page report on a particular suburb or postcode, and I'll go through all of the properties listed, where they're going to go, et cetera, plus all the mortgage stress stuff. And if you go through to the DFA blog, there's a contact form down at the bottom there, and if you contact me there, then we can have a conversation about that. Also, you know, if you want to get just a bit more sense of what I do, if you go onto the YouTube channel, Walk the World, you can actually watch some of my videos where I've gone through this and walked through some of the information so you can see the sorts of things that are there. The point is, there is nobody else in Australia who has this granular model that I have. I've been doing it for 20-odd years. And people will say, well, hang on a moment, didn't you say property prices were going to fall, you know, significantly some years ago? Yes, I did, but I failed to account for the fact that the Reserve Bank cut rates to 0.1% and the government threw billions and billions of dollars into the system, right? That's the problem. Now, that has passed. We're not going to see the same again. So we're now in a whole new world. Therefore, being armed with good information is really critical. And I guess that's my, you know, passing thought. Be cautious, be careful, get the granular information you need to make better decisions.
Well, they've stopped printing money. Interest rates are going up. Inflation's going up, and nothing's going to stop them. One last question, Martin, your crystal ball. When will we sort of get to the bottom amongst Australia before it starts to climb again? Are we one year away, 6 months away, 2 years away? What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that's tricky because, of course, there are so many externalities. But, you know, that there is a little bit of a sort of a sense here that this is not going to happen in just a few weeks. It's probably going to be a year or two. And I'll just show you this slide. This is actually the ASX 30-day interbank cash rate yield curve. At the moment, they're saying in March 2024, the cash rate is looked to be 3.8%, right? Now, say it again, March 2024, 3.8%. So if you've got a cash rate of 3.8% and you add another 3% or so for the margin on the mortgage, you're looking at a mortgage rate of somewhere between 6.5% and 7%. If mortgage rates are at 6.5% to 7%, property prices will be down and significantly down. There is no recovery there until maybe the RBA starts releasing rates later. And even the RBA is saying they don't expect inflation to be within its 2% until 2024. So this is not going to turn around quickly. This is probably a 2 to 3 year cycle before we actually get to the bottom. And then we probably bump along the bottom for a couple of years. So I would be thinking you need to have a 5 to 10 year view of property if you're actually going to make decisions, because there is going to be no short-term rebound. There's no bounce. There's no pivot. We're going to go through the long, slow grind of trying to deal with inflation. Property prices are going down.
Martin, this is fantastic. Martin, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to have you back again and again and again, because we could go on forever. People have been with us all day, so it's time to pull the pin, so to speak. I'll let you go, Martin. Thank you so much. I'm expecting all 400 to subscribe to you.
So, and well, look forward to it if they do, and thanks very much for the opportunity.